Very excited to have a really good friend of ours in studio with us. Craig from the Taters is here. One of the Tater boys. Didn't bring the tots with him today. You know, the Taters been around for a long time. You guys have an anniversary this year.
We are. This is 2017 marks 20 years with this particular band.
You know,
some form of it.
I think a lot of people that I know, and probably a lot of people, I'd say a good percentage of the American public has been in a band at one point or another.
A lot of them have been in this one.
Yeah, a lot of them have. And if you've ever been in a band, you know it's a relationship. And it's just like any other relationship, and it can be fraught with problems, you know, especially in an artistic endeavor like playing music. I want to play it this way. You want to play it that way. Neither one's right or wrong. You just hear it differently.
Right.
How do you keep a band together that long? I know you change people in and out every once in a while, but the core of the band's been the same.
Yeah, myself and Brad Tucker, we've been in it since the beginning. It started out as a duo with just the two of us,
mm-hmm.
and then we added a drummer in, and gradually over the years we've had, like you say, different people move in and out. The current group that we have, we've got Greg Mars on guitar and Chris Mendez on drums. I think this unit has been going now for almost 8 years.
You started out as a duet.
Mm-hmm.
You've evolved over the years. The music has changed and not changed.
Mm-hmm.
The vocals have always been a big part of the Taters. How do you keep that? Do you add new songs all the time? I know you guys write your own, but do you add cover songs? Are you like other bands do?
Yeah, we do. Most often the cover songs come in one or two ways. Either very often it'll be something that shows up at a live show, third set kind of thing where
we've run it.
We're kind of amusing ourselves,
yeah.
and some diehards, and we'll try something we hadn't tried before. Somebody will come up with an idea. Sometimes, you know, it might be occasioned by something in the news. You know, somebody's coming to town or somebody's passed away and we want to do a tribute to them.
Yeah.
We had a show a couple of months ago right after Glenn Campbell had passed away. So the afternoon before the show, we each of us hit the internet and printed out some lyric sheets, and we pulled in I think about six songs, and went ahead and just tried them live.
And if you're like me, I'm listening to all those Glenn Campbell songs for the first time in 20 years or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and you know the Jim Webb songs, fantastic lyrics, just amazing lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
If they'd have given me those songs, I might have been able to make them a hit. You and Brad work together so well. The harmonies are so good. I know you do stuff like the Everly Brothers,
mm-hmm.
which that's so harmony driven. Is that something that's actually gotten better over the years, or was that there day one?
I think some of it was there early on. I mean, one thing that, I don't know if it drew us to each other, but one thing we both enjoyed early on was harmony singing.
Mm-hmm.
And we would, we did that from the very earliest days. Brad and I started playing together back in the early 80s, the Taters, which started off in 97 as the Burnt Taters.
Mm-hmm. Band formerly known as Burnt.
Burnt, yeah. I don't know why I thought that was a good idea at the time. But
I like it, actually. Is there one event on stage that you can remember out of all of those thousands of gigs you've played? I know you just recently played with the symphony,
right.
which had to be.
That might be it for me, at least. I mean, I'm speaking just for myself here, but we got to do, in February, we did a full show with the symphony at the Cultural Arts Center in Glen Allen, and then we just did a short version of that last weekend down at Westchester Commons, again with the symphony, and it was a thrill, really. You know, we got to have three of our songs. They got arrangers for them, and they wrote up full scores for it.
You got to see a full symphonic score of one of your songs?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've actually got it, like printed out and stuff just to look at. I don't understand all of it, but it sounded good to
Allegro
me.
Allegro over here.
Yeah, I mean, there's instruments I probably couldn't even name playing on the song.
So I got a chance the last couple of years to be with the symphony on the 4th of July, and you walk up there.
Did you do the canon?
I did. Thank you for pointing that out, actually. So you walk up on that stage with 80 or plus or however many musicians are up there. All of them are like the best musicians you'll meet.
Right.
And they're like, okay, this is my job. And I'm like, the rest of us couldn't even touch anything right. that you do. So were you intimidated a little bit?
I think I was the first night at the rehearsal with him. For each of these two shows we did, we had a rehearsal the night before with him. And the very first time we walked in, I was a little intimidated, partly because, you know, I wasn't really sure. I know this sounds funny, but exactly how to talk to them musically. I mean, they had, you know, they had a score they were working from, and if I had a question about part of it, or if I wanted to know, like, all right, are we coming in right here? It was a little difficult for me to be able to say, you know, I mean, I understand, you know, bar lines and things like that, mm-hmm. you know, so I could say we're coming in at, you know, at measure number 45 or something, yeah. but
right after the piccolo lead.
Yeah. See, we would talk to the conductor, you know, and tell her what our question was or what we were looking
she
for.
She would translate.
And then she'd turn around to the orchestra and, you know, tell them what we really said. That was, and she was great. I mean, she was just wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, man, that had to be, I wish I could have been there for that one. Let's talk a little bit about your musical influences. And if you know Brad's, we'll throw those in too. Mm-hmm. So when you were 17, who was your favorite musician? Can you remember?
17. I guess at that point I was still very much, and I grew up with heavily into Beach Boys, mm-hmm. Elton John. From myself, those two were huge, and they still show up. I think sometimes in at least as far as like melodies and you know, like the ways that I'll harmonize a song when I'm writing something out, what kind of a bass line I might put in, yeah. something like that. Brad grew up very much on the 70s, like acoustic guitar singer songwriter, so he was hugely into John Denver, James Taylor, you know, folks like that. When the late 70s hit, and I'm out playing in bands at that point. That's when a lot of stuff started to change. And I know for myself, when Nick Lowe's first album came out in the United States, the Pure Pop for Now People, all of a sudden, you know, I was, because he drew from earlier sources. He drew from a lot of like early 60s kind of things, you know, with the whole punk and then new wave, you got the kind of resurgence of British pop kind of come back in again. And although I had lived through that as a kid, I kind of missed it musically.
Yeah.
And that brought all of that aspect into it for me.
So if folks come to, how would you describe a typical Tater set?
Oh, dear.
I know how I would.
I
just say it's fun. Well, it's great music. And
it is
fun.
We, you know, with few exceptions, we generally have fun. Mm-hmm. You were mentioning the idea of the, you know, relationship in a band earlier, and you know, we'll go through times where there's, you know, there's disagreements, or one person wants to do something this way, one wants to do it another. But most of the time, we're kind of blessed with the idea that when we get on stage, everything seems to kind of, you know, kind of gel together, fall together. Like everybody's enjoying playing. The songs, whether it's one of our songs or a cover song, they're all, I mean, if they have anything in common at all, it's the vocal kind of prominence in the songs. All of them are vocal songs. We have, you know, very few, we've got a couple of instrumentals that we put in. I wrote a Halloween instrumental that's on our Halloween album. And there's obviously guitar leads and instrumental breaks and things like that, but I think the vocals are kind of what stand out for us and to audiences. And like you say, the fun. I mean, we have fun doing it. I think most of the time the audience has fun being part of it. Things happen in the middle of shows. We don't – I'll often, you know, tell people, you know, we do no two shows the same. And it's true. It's not always on purpose. But it's just kind of how things go, and things will change in the middle of songs sometimes. Yeah. We don't even play the same song twice exactly the same very often.
Well, you guys are goofballs. So Long silence. There is a lot of fun on stage, and you play off each other's personalities, and the comments that come off the stage, it's almost like a comedy musical show sometimes. I always enjoy it. Always great quality music, and always several really good laughs, too. So thanks for doing it. Keep doing it.
Oh, we love it.
Yeah. So
happy people are enjoying it.
I'm hoping your real job, your day job lasts so you can do this for many years to come.
Me too.
Thanks to the Taters. They're not burnt yet. They're still going strong. And thanks to everybody in the band for providing us all that great music.
Thank you, guys.